What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When's ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
All right, and welcome back to another episode of the What is TWS podcast, Raping Your Time Since 2016. As always, I am J-Dot Flan, and across from me is my brother Rich Nerd.
Here.
And then we got a special guest all the way from Eindhoven, the Netherlands, via somewhere in Texas, I can't remember. But what do you want to go by?
You can call me Easy Tiger.
Easy Tiger. I forgot about it today. Easy Tiger is back in the building. He's a return guest to the show, but he's back in the States now, so we had to have him back. It's glad to have you here, man.
It's good to be here.
What was that, like a two and a half year hiatus?
Yeah, kind of, because there was Dallas before that, and just moved back here.
Eindhoven. All right, so... Man, it's been a minute since, you know, we all spoke, and let's see, what is there to get caught up on? The world is still crazy.
Trump was in office before you left.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, world is still crazy. Trump is still crazy. I don't even know. Let's get, you know, some of the current events out the way. We do want to, before we go any further, you know, give our condolences to Kim Porter's family, the children, Diddy. I didn't really know who Kim Porter was other than her relationship. I shouldn't laugh.
You know, it's sad when people were like, who's Kim Porter? She's I'll Be Sure and P. Diddy's baby mama.
Yeah, that's really...
Like, when that's claimed... When their claim to fame is this person's baby mama...
That was her resume, as far as cold. I was concerned. But now I'm hearing she was actually an actress.
Like, she was an actress.
Was she in some stuff that I would know?
Might have been. I don't even know her resume. I know she was I'll Be Sure and P. Diddy's baby mama.
And she died young. She was 47.
47.
Dude, yeah. I'm going to be completely real about it. You know, like, she is not a figure that I was aware of or following. So I heard that she passed. And like I said, her resume to me is, you know, her resume, as far as my knowledge, you know, was concerned, was her relationship with Diddy. Yeah, I didn't know she was an actress. I didn't know.
I think she was an actress and a designer and a model, and that's how they ended up meeting. But regardless of all of that, any loss of life should be celebrated.
Do we know what? I didn't, because I haven't read the article.
I think they said she ended up getting sick, and then she had an extreme case of pneumonia, and it eventually just took its toll on her. And so, yeah, that sucks. Shout out if you out there with a cough or a sneeze. And you somebody's baby mama, go check it out.
You're wrong for that one, bro. 100% wrong for that one. All right, so what we got on the agenda today? We got a lot of interest. I don't even know where we want to start.
All right, so...
Do you want to start with the conversation we was just having? Should we just go...
We might as well, because it's going to all segue into it, into one another.
All right, so we live in the age of challenges, right? And... anytime anybody does anything on the internet and there's a video of it, probably going to be a challenge put forth. And for gentlemen who enjoy watching women do lewd things on video, there are two extremely interesting challenges going on right now. And I think they reflect two opposite sides of the same coin. I'm being very vague right now, so fuck, let me get to the point. One, I'm pretty sure at this point, everyone or every dude other than Tom has seen other than Easy Tiger has seen the Jill Scott video of her giving ghost head. Shout to Jill Scott. Major points on that one. Ladies, take note. You know, I'm not trying to be misogynistic. I'm just saying you have to appreciate an artist. You know, you have to appreciate good work when you see it. You gotta big up people when you see talent. You have to acknowledge it. And that is talent, people. So
yeah, she brung some extreme artistic talent to the table on that one. Yeah,
to the stage. And from what I understand, and it should be no shock to anybody, because her music has always reflected this side of her. She's always been a very sensual. I wanted to say sexual, but because I'm trying to make her a little
different,
a little fancier. I switched it to sensual at the last moment. And so to make that point, there's another challenge out there from the City Girls, who I know very little about, but they have a $25,000 twerk challenge. I guess they have a song called Twerk, and challenge out there to do your best twerk to the song. And I guess you got a chance to win $25,000. So,
25K for a butt shake.
And I'm telling you, if you want to waste a couple of hours on the internet and be thoroughly entertained, look up either one of these challenges. I haven't seen any Jill Scott challenge videos yet. I just heard that somebody made that a challenge.
Just hit Jill Scott challenge on Twitter or Instagram.
And
it's there.
It's gone. All right. I've seen a couple of the twerk joints.
Before we go forward, a special shout out to Jill Scott's husband and baby daddy. You are the real MVP. Don't pull no... What's that dude's name that let Halle Berry get away?
David Justice? Everybody let Halle Berry get away. How many times?
The other Halle one who had the sex issue.
Oh, Eric Benet.
Yeah. Well, what he said, don't pull Eric Benet. Here we go.
Almost went Eric Benet. So the conversation we were having right before we hit record was like, so I guess the City Girls Challenge is looked at as fairly ratchet. I'm going to say we see that. The twerk challenge is ratchet.
Yeah, it's pretty ratchet.
It's put kind of in the City Girls is kind of put in that same bracket with Cardi B and the Nicki Minaj's. And this overarching trend I see right now of like black female empowerment / sexuality kind of going hand in hand. Like, we have to allow people the freedom without judgment to be as raunchy as they want to be, in the same way that we have given it to men. You know, we let Luke and all that stuff be what it was at the time where it was. But now there's like this judgment free zone. Like, Luke did not exist without judgment. You know, there were people that loved Luke, and there were people that hated Luke for the exact same reasons. But now we exist in this world where you have to just love it. You have to just...
You got to accept it.
You got to accept it, say it exists. It should exist. It's this lane. You can be this and classy at the same time, or you can be this and whatever, you know, smart. Because I'm sure you can twerk and be smart at the same time. Hmm. I don't know any of them now. I'm sorry. I don't know a lot of people that twerk, period. Or they did at least twerk and do it in a realm where I'd be aware of. Maybe they twerk.
Yeah, I don't know too many people. I mean,
I take that back. I think
Dawkins twerks. You and your girlfriend, like, y'all might be at the club, you might dance, but you don't just know people who just randomly twerking for the sake of twerking on TV on and video videos. 20, like,
all right, so correct me if I'm wrong. Here's where I get into trouble. This is my new shirt. Here's where I get into trouble, Rich. If you tell me that the challenge is to dance for 25K, that sounds a lot like stripping to me. If when you start dancing for money,
I mean,
and not like dancing, we know what kind of dancing we're talking about. It's exotic dancing, if you want.
Listen,
you start twerking. When you clapping your ass cheeks for the chance at 25K, Can we call it a spade? Can we say that strip?
I mean, that is what happens at the strip club.
Mm. Yeah.
Make it clap and drop it low for 25K.
25K. But, I mean, so what we were talking about, because I'm taking a long time to get to the point here, but what we were talking about was how we have that realm of it. And I think at this point we all know, like, women that we consider intelligent, women that we consider successful, women that we would not put in that ratchet category, but enjoy and big up and treat, you know, Cardi B and the City Girls and these women who, in my mind, don't embody the things that make them them, but, like, they're looked at almost as some of their... I think Richard used the word for one particular young lady that Cardi B is her favorite person, almost like her her hero, you know? So we had this side, right? And then we had the Jill Scott side, where Jill just on camera did some real, could be considered ratchet stuff. I mean, I don't, do we have a precedent for Ghosthead? Has this happened before? Like, do we have anywhere?
I'm trying to think, and I don't
do we have anywhere to, like, categorize?
Not at this level that it caused what Ghosthead, a movement.
Like, it's not like she got on stage, like, with a dildo or something. She gave fellatio to the air, pretty much. But it was graphic. She gave the two hands and everything. She was spitting a couple. She went in. She went all the way in.
She had fun.
But I think at least for me, I look at that and being a fan of Jill's music and knowing, you know, I guess being able to give more context to it because I'm a fan of her music, whereas the other ones I'm not a fan. I don't know anything about their music other than the song is called Twerk. But I'm able to look at Jill Scott's video and not judge it so harshly and not judge it as, you know, her not embodying the thing. I still look at Jill as, like, you know, the epitome of what you would want as a wife, as a partner.
In my head, like, you look at what Jill Scott is doing, right? And her performance was just that. It was a performance from an artist in the moment. That is not her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, embracing that lifestyle and putting it all on display for the world to see. That's something totally different. Now, the City Girls with the twerking contest and Cardi B, that's them hands down 24/7. That's something totally different. And then to go back to the conversation that we had earlier, so many women are clamoring behind them because, oh my God, they're so free. They get to do what they want. Yeah, but in your soul and in your heart, you wouldn't do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not okay. So it's like they're embracing it because they get to live their ratchet lifestyle vicariously through Cardi B and everyone else. But if that's what it is, then at the base layer, it's still fucking unacceptable. You know what I mean? If you think about it like that, it's still unacceptable. You want everybody to embrace it because you want everybody to love what's going on because that makes you feel better about it. And once in a blue, you can pop a toe out like, yay, I'm being ratchet on Monday, and then bring it back in. No. No, it's cool once in a while to, you know, let your hair down and be what you want to be and do what you want to do. But come on, that's Cardi B and the rest, and that's next level. That's just too much.
Yeah, I think that's where I get into the problem. I think that's where it starts to bother me, is that there's no balance.
Mm-hmm.
Like the narrative in music, especially black female music, you know, popular mainstream black female hip hop music. I keep narrowing down this scope, but it is this over and over and over repetitive message of the same sort of oversexed sort of thing. Like in order to make it as a black hip hop artist, you gotta have a fat ass, you gotta twerk, you gotta talk about it, you gotta be overtly sexual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do all this, I'm a boss and I'm this and I'm that, but it also comes with, you know, the over the top sexual side of it. And then they're like artists that we know of that don't necessarily fit in those is archetypes the right word? I don't know, they don't necessarily fit in those boxes, and they don't get the same exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Like I hate to keep like bringing up the Rhapsody argument.
I knew you were gonna go Rhapsody because I was thinking the same thing.
And I think some people think I'm saying like you can't be a fan of both. Like there's no room. It should be Rhapsody above everybody else, and these people shouldn't exist. I'm saying Rhapsody, especially for what she's done in her career, should be at least at the same level of exposure. You know, she was up for Rap Album of the Year.
Yep.
Right next to Jay, right next to M, right next to, well, not M, right next to Kendrick. She was right there, you know.
But she's not as accepted or embraced.
She's not as accepted or embraced. You don't see the same, and you don't even see the same level of embracement. What's mm-hmm. what is the word?
What, acceptance?
Acceptance from the same black women who are like mm-hmm. Cardi B. And I got to do it because we talked about Cardi B. Here we go. Cardi B makes music for women that wash paper plates.
Oh, Cardi B makes music for women who bite the sandwich in the middle.
And what was the other one, man? Cardi B makes the soundtrack for bad decisions.
All right, so...
got to put them disclaimers out there.
So the last point you made, I'll hearken this back to the conversation we had earlier, and Tom can probably weigh on this one, too. Excuse me, Easy Tiger.
His government is all on his own. Yeah, so.
We had the conversation about the LFL.
Yeah.
Okay, and so we've gone to the several LFL games, Lingerie Football League, a.k.a. Legends Football League. And what originally brought people in the door...
what brought
was
me
that
in the door.
These women were playing... football and thongs and G-strings, and it was all for the show.
Yes, though.
Mm-hmm. Now they play, but they play in like tights, leggings, full uniform padding, and everything else like that. Now, if you go to one of these games, you realize they actually know how to play football. It's a good game.
This is a football game.
It's a very entertaining game, but we say that now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What brought us in the door initially was that sex appeal.
To see some
and,
cheeks.
Yeah. And that's what Cardi B... and Nicki Minaj and all of them are doing. They're trying to bring you in the door to get you to give a chance to listen to the music.
But
whereas Rhapsody is like, no, take me for face value, accept me. But you know what I mean? But she's not doing anything necessarily for that demographic to say, why don't I give her a chance? Because she's not appealing to them on that level. Somebody like you or me will listen to her all day. Because we value bars.
Man, we're rapping.
You know, we value the content. So we'll listen to her all day. But you got the average dude sitting in the basement somewhere. And he's like, cheeks, content, cheeks, content.
But I ain't even talking about the dudes. I'm talking about the women. Like, she makes songs about relationships.
But so it's, so
being
it's,
in love.
But it's the same
stuff
thing.
Stuff like that. Like,
but they don't
like
want to hear the truth.
Stuff that you would think would appeal.
And what you would think it would appeal, but see, that's the thing. They don't want to see the truth. So a random woman is going to see Cardi B, and she's going to be like, oh, my gosh, she's just so flashy. She's all over the place. That's just so disgusting. Let me see what she's doing next and just go down the rabbit hole and more and more and more and more because it brings them in.
And the thing I probably would disagree with is that, like, Cardi B, Nicki Minaj, and maybe not so much Nicki, but I'm throwing her in there, and the City Girls, like, it's not like they bring you in. It's not like the LFL where they pull you in with this lingerie thing and then you get
and then
there.
And then there's more substance later on?
Yeah, you get there and there's substance.
I don't
no,
listen.
They
I,
pull you in with the bullshit and when you open the door, it's like, look how much more bullshit is in. I'll get even... this is the song that made it to the radio, nigga. Imagine what's really on the album. That's my...
I wonder, like, do people, like, really listen, like...
No, nobody listens to
it. Like, to the actual... like, I've heard Cardi B's, like, Bodak Yellow and all of the rest of the songs. Like, I've heard them so many times because they're on the radio. People are playing it at venues, locations, bars, etc. I shit you not, on a Bible right now, don't remember the words. Do not... because it just doesn't resonate.
I think we're done with
you
that era.
You look at
era.
The show.
We're done with that era. Like, I'll be honest... you know, even albums that I like right now, like I can't sing many 444 songs,
mm-hmm.
bar for bar. I can't sing many Kendrick Lamar songs. I can't run off all the lyrics to the to J. Cole's, you know, last album. I think we out of that era. We out of that era of I don't want to say appreciating music on that level. But that's just not, like, it was almost for sport, you know, back then. Like, you, because that's what you did. You went home, you listened to the album, and then you had to be in class the next day and be able to run that song. Like,
that
water
cooler talk, yeah.
Like, you couldn't just say, you heard that joint? You know, yeah, you had to spit it. It was all a dream. And it's crazy, man, you asked me to recite something important, like, I don't know. You asked me to tell you what the doctor recommended for my daughter at our last appointment. I don't know. But if you ask me to spit Juicy right now, I give you the whole thing. No problem. No problem.
And so that goes back to a conversation we had in the past episode. it's so much content. You know what I mean? So it's over consumption. So we're at the point now where we're not necessarily looking for a new record because we want that artist's music. We're looking for a new record for the sake of having a new record, a new game for the sake of having a new game. We're just looking for content. You ever find yourself and you just pick up your phone and look at your phone like, why isn't anyone texting me? Like, how come no notifications are going off? Because we've been so inundated over the last few years that we're always looking for more. So the new album comes out. Oh, you listen to it a few times. That's good. On to the next one. On to the next one. On to the next one. So you're not really giving your spirit and your mind enough time to dissect and embrace and really assess the value of that body of work.
And I guess
what the ratchet people represent.
But a lot of
the now.
So you know how you know the way you look at things. No, I can't get inside your head, right? Mm-hmm. So the way I look at things and what makes me do something, when I see you do something similar, I say, well, he must have had the same experience, or he must have been thinking the same thing. And so what scares me is that, like, every once in a while, even when you get inundated with all this music and all of this content, a piece of content, like, sneaks through and sticks.
Something stands out, yeah.
Yeah, so like Royce da 5'9", Booker Rhyme, out of all them albums that came out around that time, and there were a lot of dope albums. I mean, you know, like I said, J. Cole, Kendrick, who else? Styles P. So many people. I can't even remember. Nas, Pusha T. Like, so many albums came out around that same time. And the one I go back to and listen to over and over again is the Book of Ryan. And I do because that one, like, connected with me personally.
Mm-hmm.
So I say all that to say, with all this inundation of content, when I see so many people connecting with Cardi B and so many people connected with City Girl or that content sticking, it's like, is this what's really connecting with people? Are they having the same?
That goes back to what I said earlier. It's that moment when you're like, damn, I wish I can yell at my butt. Like, perfect example, you quit your job and you walk out your job flipping tables, flipping the boss off, cursing at everybody, and everybody's like super excited, like, yeah, because in that moment it resonates with them and they're like, yeah, I wish I could have, you know, told my boss to kiss my ass and flip the table when I walked out.
You?
Yeah, you know, everybody wants that moment. So people are looking at Cardi B and they may not be, you know, internally ratchet on that level, but they want to be able to go outside for once and just wear the outfit that they want to wear, or say exactly what they want to say, or be forward. And so they're just sinking down the rabbit hole, and one particular thing brought them in, and now it's like a soap opera and a train wreck, and it can't look away.
I don't know. I just, and maybe I, like, twerking, I guess twerking is not that bad of a thing, but the fact that, like, the internet is, like, full of twerk videos, people trying to get 25K, like,
like, if you're going to twerk, but you don't want your sister to be out there twerking for 25K.
Yeah, it does bother me, and so I don't know. I guess I'm not supposed to be bothered, but, it
and
does
all
bother.
Those twerking videos, only one person is going to get that 25K.
Only one person
is going to get that 25K. Everybody else is just doing it for free.
And then now that it's done, well, I mean, only y'all done been out here twerking for cash.
They might be some twerk celebrities to come, because I done seen some winners. I done seen more than one winner. Well, right. Only one person can get that cash, but other people got to win off this.
Well, if the City Girls and the twerk stars are listening, y'all got to remember, like Tom just said, only one person can win, but you are all officially twerking for cash.
Twerking for money. Mm-hmm.
Twerking for cash. Popping ass for cash.
Oh, man. Yeah, like you said, I got to stop watching the videos, because I'll be fucked up if I was watching the video and then the girl turned around and it was my sister. That would fuck me up for life, nigga. That would be over.
All right, so I got a question for you, because you mentioned your daughter. I don't know if you heard about this one with the Jaden Smith.
Is where he said Tyler was his boyfriend?
Yeah. He said, Tyler, the Creator, is my fucking boyfriend at Tyler, the Creator's concert.
Like we've talked about this on the podcast, and I was talking to Tom about this earlier. Right now, we're in a time where it seems to be the goal is to just say outrageous shit. And then, like, whether it's true, whether it's false, whether you believe it, whether you don't believe it, just think of something that is going to stand out. When I say it, it's going to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to get attention from the people who yep. agree. I'm going to get attention from the people who disagree. I'm going to become a superstar overnight. Not that Jaden Smith wasn't already a superstar, yeah. but I'm going to, if I was forgot about, if you had never thought about me in the last 6 months, if I just say one thing so outrageous that it gets your attention, I'm right back. I'm back.
Welcome to America.
Yeah. So I mentioned that to say, like, I'm curious, what would you guys' reactions be? Like, you know, your child comes out of the closet and announces their love for their significant other, announce that they're gay or bi or lesbian or whatever the case may be, in such a grandiose fashion, what's your response? Like, what do you think, like, how do you think you would react to that? Like, what do you think you would say or do?
That's a tough situation.
Here's where I get into trouble.
Jared's going to get in trouble. He's going to stick his foot in his mouth right now.
Here's where I get into trouble, Rich. I'm not made for this world. I keep saying I'm not built for this new world. I'm still mad that when I go to Target, I only get the choice between athletic, slim, and straight. Same fucking thing. I don't fit in this world. So I don't fit in a world where this is now, you know, the thing. Like, it's going to take me a moment to accept it. And I would hope that my daughter knows me well enough to know that it's not a slight on her. It's not any that I love her any less. It's that I don't understand this new. I didn't grow up in this. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like I didn't grow up in this. I feel like the world, because of cell phones and the internet and all this social media,
mm-hmm.
it now, like, pop culture changes so rapidly
yep.
that, like, the difference between when I was 18 and now that I'm 37, and probably the difference between when my mother was 18, like, and like I'm in her generation, I would be like 65 years old. Like, so mm-hmm. much has happened in those years that I don't fit in this mm-hmm. no more, and I don't have the, maybe my daughter embracing it, or, you know, being a parent, and in the years to come, as I'm going to have to embrace my daughter embracing it, will give me the motivation to want to fit. But as it currently stands, I look at it, I don't like it, I don't want to fit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't even attempt to fit.
Yeah.
I think on this show I do a little bit. Like, I really would like more people to engage and come on the show, mm-hmm. have the conversations with me so that I can understand a little bit. But the sad fact is that I really don't understand. It really doesn't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. I really sit in Target, and I hate the Target change the shit because it's really pissing me off. I really sit in Target and stare at that sign. I'm like, athletic, straight, slim. How are these three different things? Like, it baffles my mind.
Mm.
And so if jean sizes baffle my mind right now, you can imagine what, like, Jaden Smith declaring Tyler Creator to be his boyfriend does to me. And if it was my daughter, hey, it's gonna give me a minute. Give me a minute, sweetheart, be right back. Just a minute. Right. Just a minute. Right. Yeah. So I mean, hopefully that doesn't hurt anybody's feelings. Like, I don't, it's not a diss. I just don't understand it, and it's gonna take me a minute to wrap my head around it. Pause.
All right, so Easy Tiger, what do you think?
I mean, for me, I mean, like, I used to be, I'll go on record and admit that I used to be a little bit homophobic in college and whatnot. But, I mean, currently, my view of the world is, I don't know, it's great. Like, to me, I think it's great that he can feel free to go ahead and just announce his love for somebody, as long mm-hmm. as it's love is reciprocated and, you know, everybody's fine with it being open and out like that. I don't think that they should feel like they have to divulge that information to the public. Mm-hmm. I feel like the public doesn't need to know everything that goes on in everybody's private lives. I mean, I personally value privacy. If it was my kid, then I would be happy for them that they felt free and open enough to be able to say that freely, you know? I don't know.
So I think I kind of toe the line between the two of you, Pause. Because on one hand, you know, first of all, everyone would love to say, you know, I'll be there for you no matter what.
Right.
You know, no matter, I'm going to love you. That's not going to change, which is entirely true. You're always going to love your child.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to be there for them. But to Jared's point, in the moment, you know, you never know how shocking or how taken aback you could be. I would be extremely happy within my spirit and within my soul that my child was able to say something like that and stand up for themselves and be that proud and be that courageous.
Mm-hmm.
However, let me get a moment to process this. Yeah, I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Let me get a piece of that strength that you got.
Let me catch up to you.
Right.
You can't spring it. I need to catch up to where you are right now.
Daddy ain't there yet. I'm just, because I can't control what my face does. You know what I mean? I might be, in all sincerity, like, you know, be wanting to show support in that moment, and my face just. Face just don't like it. I got to keep it real. I got to do what's in my heart.
I mean, I'll admit too, like back in college, my girlfriend asked me, like, what if our kid, if we had a kid, what if he turned out to be gay? What if she turned out to be a lesbian? And I was like, back then, I thought I would probably almost disown them. Like, my views on the subject have greatly changed over the years as I've grown as a person and gotten to know multiple people. I'm in a fog right now because I've had too much caffeine and I'm kind of jet lagged from the trip.
I don't know how you guys were doing it. You were pounding that coffee like it was just sugar water. And I was like, why the fuck are you guys bringing so much coffee? I mean, I get it, free refills, but Jesus.
And I mean, to piggyback on what Tom is saying, easy tiger.
You can call me Tom.
Is that I would hope that people would be as sensitive or as tolerant and accepting and understanding of me and my not, because it's not, it doesn't come from a place of I don't like you or I don't accept you or I hate you or you shouldn't be allowed to do that. It comes from a place of I don't understand it and I haven't caught up yet. And if you help me understand, maybe I can get there.
Mm-hmm. But like I would hope
that people would be as understanding of me and my Neanderthalism. Like, can I make that a thing? That, you know, you are what you are. I guess we got these like non-gender, because I thought Jaden Smith was like gender neutral.
At one point his sister started doing the whole gender neutral, gender fluidity.
Yeah.
And I was about to say she was dating a guy, but she's dating a person who Willow's mate.
Mm-hmm. Partner.
Goddamn, Willow's boyfriend. Oh, shit.
Willow's boyfriend was Willow's boyfriend. Was gender,
I'm not conforming to this shit.
Gender neutral.
Willow's boyfriend is gender neutral, so he wants to be referred to as like her person or mate or just who he is.
That's sad. To me, like, I would hope it's because that's a new thing to me. Like, to him, it's who he's been all his life or whatever. But to me, the existence of such a person is new, and I would hope that he would have as much or like what I don't even know what pronoun to use.
So
like,
that's what I was about to say.
Like, this is they
that's
have
when
to,
you just gotta
you have to take it slow. You have to
use
you have to take it slow and help me catch up. I grew up in a world where it was him or her.
It was black and white.
It was black or white.
Male
and
or
now
female,
all of a sudden, like, there's all these colors. I don't even know what to call them. I don't know what the words are. I don't know the nomenclature. I don't know the culture. I don't know what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. I don't know what's offensive. And I need to be coached and taught. And I would hope that somebody would have the same sort of patience and understanding with me that they want me to have with them, you know, in terms of accepting, you know, their life choices. You know, help me understand. Help me get to a place where I don't feel like I don't know how to function.
Mm-hmm.
It's moving fast, too.
And that's the thing. And everybody wants this overnight, immediate acceptance across the board. And you just have to accept and deal with everyone's cause, everyone's plight, everyone's, like, just different. And how? I'm some of this shit, I don't even know what it means. Exactly. And but you got to be okay with it. And to something that we've said plenty of times, it's a huge attack on definition. Mm-hmm. And if that's going to be the case and looks like that's where the world is going, fine. But you have to make sure everyone gets a copy of the new dictionary and playbook. Mm. Otherwise, we're not going to be on the same page.
We're not on the same page. Yeah. So, I need help. I need help. I'm asking for help. I'm reaching out for help. Yeah,
That's way too much going on.
All right. Switching gears so quickly. Did you hear about the man? What is the way to put this? Drug dealer gets arrested. I don't even know. Anyway, drug dealer gets arrested. He gets found with a lot of drugs, large sum of money. When they get him to the police station, they can't find the money. Then the unthinkable happens. $20 bills start falling off this man's ass.
Oh, my God.
Have y'all heard of this one? The drug dealer.
The Booty Bandit. I have not heard of the Booty Bandit.
Definitely not.
All right. So welcome to, and this is your first one, Tom. Welcome to another episode of Guess the Ethnicity. All right. So we'll start again. Florida police arrested a man following a traffic stop when they found he was carrying an assortment of drugs and a large amount of money. But the biggest surprise came when they got back to the station and found the cash had disappeared, but $20 bills were falling from his rectum.
I have so many questions.
Oh, man.
Was he naked just standing there? And did they have to swipe before he spit the cash out? Like, how is this just...
Yeah, and how were they just falling out of his rectum? How are they just falling out of his pant legs or whatever?
I would think... Maybe it was when they got to searching him or something or patting him. Okay. You know, I would think if you're in a rush to get it up there, you might...
But no bag? Like, just straight cash? What if one got loose?
Sounds like they're coming out one by one.
They got loose. They got loose.
Who's all right, so drug dealer in Florida.
Drug dealer in Florida.
20's up the ass.
20's up the ass. I'll tell you, the total amount found was $1,090 in $20 bill. The detention deputies then noticed something quite unusual. They observed $20 bills falling from the buttocks area.
My initial is going to be white, right, or not black.
So yeah, I think we've narrowed it down, Tom, to just it was like white and black, white or black,
mm-hmm,
or trying to specify the exact ethnicity, but that's a little too difficult. Too many shades of gray here. So right now we go, are you a black non-black, or is it white non-white? I think it's black, non-black.
I'm going to say not white or non-black.
All right, so just based on those facts alone, Tom, where
you want me to call this one, too?
I want you to call this one, too. You're not going to get in trouble, man. You're not going to get in trouble.
You say that now.
Based off the initial story, money was up the butt, which means he had enough time to hide it. Not black. he was detained. Not black. And he's in Florida. There's a lot of blacks in Florida.
A lot of blacks in Florida.
I'm going not black.
You're going not black.
Whites or not black.
I'm going to agree with him for now.
All right. So we both going not black.
Yep.
Not black. All right. Not black. Let's see. All right. Let's get back to what let's get back to better things other than money falling. We got people twerking their booty for money, and we got people having money falling out of their twerking booty.
Man.
I'm just trying to, how does that happen?
Can you imagine, like...
No, I don't want to.
I don't want to handle money anymore. Give me credit cards.
For us.
No more cash. Yeah. People be putting it up their asses. Right. No.
Yeah, if you're a cashier anywhere right now, you got to be thinking, I know I didn't handle some ass money at this point.
Did he stuff it in his anus, or was it like just bills in between the cheeks? This is one of those things that you don't want to know, but you feel like you want to know.
So I was watching... you know, the Breakfast Club did this thing for mental health awareness, the Change for Change, mm-hmm, recently this week, and Casanova was on there. Casanova, do you have to say the two times? I don't know. I'm not from New York. I don't understand how it works. Well, Casanova was on there, and you know, he was talking about how jail affected his mentality, but he was talking about all the stuff, like, that's your jail wallet. Like stuffing stuff up your ass is not an uncommon practice.
Jail wallet.
you know they get ready to flip your cell. You might have to, tuck something real quick. So it sounds like this is something that happens. Like, I don't know. I ain't never heard about nobody stuffing $1,000. And like, how loot did you not have it?
That's what I'm saying. You don't put it in. I mean, at least put it. And I hate that we gotta get so scientific with something so pun intended asinine. But you know, you don't roll it up into a wad. You know, put it in a Ziploc bag, get some lube, do it properly. I hope I never have to deal with something
condom
like this.
Maybe better. Yeah, than a Ziploc bag even.
but still, you're just a, first of all, what did you think was going to happen when you got the cash back?
I'm sorry. Well, all right. Like when because now got, I'm imagining, like, all right, let's say you get it up there. What has to happen
for you to get it up
to start unraveling like that? Like, was he just like farting their money?
That's what I is.
Now, you know, as a person that's done my jail stint, my whole 48 hours, you don't get the cash back. They confiscate the cash and they give you like a card or some shit. Like, I got like a debit card for my $16 that I brought into jail with me.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, what was he thinking? Like, when he hid the money, he obviously expected he was going to get the money back.
Yeah.
So what was his plan to, one, get the money back? Two, where were you taking this money? It would obviously be stained and odoriferous. So were you going to put it in an ATM? Clog that up? Do an instant deposit? Like, what were you?
You gotta launder that money. You gotta launder that
literally. Like, what was the plan? I don't
take it to the money launder.
Mm-hmm. That's disgusting.
It is disgusting. Let's talk about something else. All right, let's talk about something else just as disgusting. So, in my new condition in life, you know, a lot has happened. I really haven't discussed all that's happened on the podcast. Not sure that I'm ready to, but. I find myself as a grown man with a roommate. And no diss to grown men with roommates. I just have never had a roommate situation. Never had it. So I'm finding out, you know, from having a roommate that they're just, everybody has their own idiosyncrasies. And, you know, you get to a point where they're like rules of the house. And don't ask me why I was thinking this the other day. I was thinking, you have two grown men in a space, mm-hmm. and if they're going to live together for any extended period of time, like, what are the rules about jerking off in another man's house? How does that work? It's like, is it ever okay? I feel like there's got to be some rules. Like, this situation has had to have come up.
I feel like
there got to be some rules in place for it.
I feel like the policy has always been don't ask, don't tell.
Oh, mm-hmm. Don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah. Because neither roommate wants to know.
Right.
We but both you know. Acknowledge that it's happening.
It's gotta happen.
But yeah. It's the unspoken, well, if you don't mention it, I don't have to think about it, and then we're both still sane. But we all know that it's happening at some point. Once it becomes a reality and goes from subconscious to conscious, then weird stuff happens. You can never shake hands again. Can't give a pound. You know, you it's certain things that everything.
Start counting the squares of toilet paper.
So that's why the shampoo went so fast. Right. Like, lotion, you shopping for lotion again? You never know. So it's little things.
Watching how much Kleenex comes in the house.
Exactly. Ooh. So yeah, it's one of those unspoken, just stay away from it kind of rules. You know, but you don't know.
All right, so that's just the one, like, obscure, like, weird thing that popped in my head. But what would be, because I feel like everything involving men has to have rules. We've talked about barbershop rules. We've talked about bathroom rules. What would be other roommate rules? I'm talking about two grown men.
It's always, like, the unspoken stuff, space. Like,
yeah, they all
courtesy call. For, like, bringing dates home and females home. You bring a girl over and, you know, we're roommates. You can, you know, depending on the situation, you can introduce yourself, but you can't be more funny and charming than I am. You almost immediately have to be more vulgar to make me look better. And at the end of the day, if she mentions you at all, she should be complaining and not praising. It's like one of those unwritten, to me, I feel like that's like an unwritten.
You have to be the hated roommate.
It's not that you have to be the hated roommate, but
you can't
you're sitting on the couch and you're being charming and speaking French and shit. And at the end of the night, you don't want to hear, oh, my God, he was so nice. That's not what you want to hear. So if you come up or you're mentioned at all, it better be for something negative. Don't have, you know, my girl talking about how great he was. Don't listen. I'm working as much or as little or as even killed as I can to maintain expectation.
This is don't ruin next this for level me. Shit, Rich.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I never thought about it on this level.
But it resonates though. Mm. It's a rule.
Yeah.
You got any roommate rules?
I haven't had much of a roommate for a long time. I had a roommate in college, and it was mostly about keeping the shit clean because he was a neat freak, and I am not. To put it lightly. So just clean up after yourself. And
because I was telling Tom, one of the rules I've been given, and I understand it after it was explained to me, but it was never anything I would have thought of. You know, I've been in a house with women for forever, so you leave the toilet seat down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm now in a house with just two dudes, and so there's no real reason to leave the toilet seat down, but I didn't know that there was an explicit reason to leave the toilet seat up. And what has been explained to me is that toilet seat down, like the only reason men put the toilet seat down is to take a shit. And if I know it's been man ass on that toilet seat, I don't want to have to, and it wasn't my ass, I don't want to have to pick the toilet seat up so I can take a piss. So you always leave the toilet seat up because I shouldn't have to touch anything that your ass has been on.
I shouldn't. when you explain it like that, I guess. I've lived with women for a long time, so I'm used to putting the toilet seat down. However, I'm a lid down person anyway. Because I don't like to flush the toilet with the lid up because then you get that swirling and everything is in the air. I put everything down anyway. So even when I go to the bathroom, I'm just a guy, I'm still lifting the lid and then putting it back down to flush. So I don't encounter that to begin with. But that is a good point and something that you would not have.
Like every time I see the toilet seat down, I'm like, there's been man ass on that.
Yeah. I feel like that's what I'm going to be thinking going forward.
Hey, it's a toilet seat. Shit happens.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there, Easy Tiger. All right, speaking of shit.
Also, speaking of rules real quick, it's a guy at work, and I just... He breaks through. He does this every single time. He goes to the bathroom. It's three stalls, and he uses the middle fucking stall.
Yeah, we've talked every about time. So many times.
The fucking middle stall. Like, I walk in and it's like I have to walk back out. Why? Why would you don't automatically go to the middle?
No.
You go corner to corner and you skip a space in between. If it's three stalls and you take the one in the middle, well, you're just ruining a day for everybody. Fuck, that's annoying.
Who raised these?
I don't have the same hangups y'all do about that. I mean, like, I will use the middle stall if there's two people on either side.
Right.
If it's for three emergency stalls and it's already two people there, obviously, if you really have to go, you got to go and you're going to use it. But you don't go out of your way to stand next to another person.
No, definitely not.
If you're at you're at the first stall and you come in and it's two free, you don't stand next to the other person. He does.
No, the middle stall is for emergency use only. They should put a sign up and just say emergency use only.
So that's what I'm saying.
Break glass in case of emergency.
And I don't care. You have times where you're always going to be standing next to somebody. That's not the issue.
Okay.
But don't go out of your way
to make sure you're inconvenience next to
someone else or to go out of your way and stand next to someone. That's because why? That just isn't you going out of your way to stand next to me to pee.
See, again, this is this new world that I don't understand.
Some companionship.
I don't understand.
These new dudes don't understand that I don't understand them. I'm just lost, man.
It's like the people that start conversations with
I was
you
about to say that one.
Yeah, don't talk. Once I cross that threshold, don't eye contact and don't talk to me. We don't exist in the same space.
Walking around, I'm like, hey, you're peeing too? Yeah. Usa.
All right. So speaking of a shitty situation, let's get back to guess the ethnicity. All right, I'm gonna give you. We're only doing two rounds of information because I just came up with this one like right before we press record. All right, so I'm gonna give you some additional pieces of information. Police added that there was a 7-month-old child in the front passenger seat of the suspect's car, and that he is charged with smuggling contraband into a detention facility. So that's the charge he got for stuffing the G up his ass.
Wait, so he was visiting somebody? So was he taking somebody commissary?
No, I think he was being brought in, and somehow on the way in, he tried to tuck the money in his prison wallet so it wouldn't be confiscated.
Was he driving the car?
Let's go back up here. Very good question.
Why is there a kid in his passenger seat?
He was pulled over for speeding.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so he's pulled over for speeding.
So
the cops took him into the detention center.
Yes.
Technically, okay. Then, didn't the cop smuggle money?
You a prison lawyer now?
I'm just listening. If the knot don't fit...
So seven-month-old, Jesus. 7-month-old in the passengers. Can you even put...
No, you're not supposed to put...
A 7-month-old...
No car seats in the front.
So we focusing on the wrong crime.
You can't have anywhere than what? What is it, 7 or 8 in the front seat?
Yeah, they got to be over a certain weight.
Right? Yeah.
About weight.
Oh, shit.
My daughter was almost 3 and she's not in the front seat.
When the kid gets older, and could you imagine the ridicule at school? What does your daddy do for a living? Smuggle G's up his ass? Like,
come on. That kid can't pay for nothing with cash. He can't buy no lunch, no nothing. Man.
Can I borrow some money? But don't bother paying me back.
Yeah, every time he gets his allowance, just Apple Pay me.
Right.
Give me that Google Cash, because that's crazy. I would look at my dad weird as fuck after that. Landlord would be like, I want the rent only in money orders and checks. Holy shit.
No cash from you.
During the stop, they also found, not tucked in his ass, but they also found methamphetamine, rock cocaine, and heroin in the vehicle. So this dude was just, he was all over the place wrong.
Drug dealer extraordinaire.
I may be wrong on this one, and... all of the signs point to a person who played Cardi B's album and made a bad decision. And yet, I want to pray on this one, and I want to say not black.
I'm still saying not black as well.
Hey, because he had that much, and he was still taking it normally?
I think once I tell you the name, it's over. His name is Patreon Stokes.
Patreon.
Wait.
How long has Patreon been around?
And he looked like he's shitting the money out right now.
Literally, or you can say his own shit.
Yeah, he's black.
Oh, man.
We got to take that L.
Fucking Patreon.
I believe it's a true story. I found it where I normally find my other articles. It was a little crazy, though. 7-month-old in the front seat. When did he have time to get the money up there? So look, but I feel like this is something that would have happened.
And it's sad. The ass, though?
It's sad. It's very sad. Very sad. Ooh. I don't know. You got anything else, Rich? Anything else we should discuss before we send the people on their way?
I don't. Why wouldn't you put it? Like, because I'm thinking, like, maybe I'm not in the baby's diaper, but like maybe the onesie, like something, like I'm in the car seat. Like, you just gonna stuff money up your ass?
Okay,
now, why would you even hide it? It would be confiscated, but obviously you would get it back. They don't know where you got the money from. I just took out the money, the cash. I'm about to get a money order. I'm gonna pay my rent.
Maybe something. He's thinking that, you know, he's caught. He got the stuff in the car. He's not coming home. he's hoping to, you know, have a little money, little money to put on his books or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know how.
How does that conversation go when they call your parent, wife, whoever, and they're like, "Hey, Patreon's been arrested. He had a G in his ass and crack in a car seat." Like,
with your come pick up your baby.
All technically, right. That's child endangerment too. Like he's
with that amount of drugs. Yeah,
he's all the way fucked at this point. All right, fucked himself.
With a lot of cash.
Oh man,
I could do this all day. Pause. Anyway, all right. So Thanksgiving coming. Let's close out with the holiday conversation. I'm not a fan of Thanksgiving. In fact, I pretty much hate Thanksgiving. I think this year is probably going to be one of the Thanksgivings I'm going to dislike more than others. But I was a kid who didn't eat growing up, and all my memories of Thanksgiving are just like relatives saying, "Why you not eating, baby? You don't look good. Your eyes don't look good. What's wrong with you?"
Why do they say that? Why are you eating so slow, or why are you picking? I'd eat fucking slow. Leave me the fuck alone.
I hate Thanksgiving. I don't see the point. And then, you know, the same way there's a certain level of outrage toward Columbus mm-hmm. Day these days, why doesn't anybody seem to look at Thanksgiving as, you know, the same way? I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts about Thanksgiving? You got any Thanksgiving stories you want to share? Let's keep it real for the holidays.
I am in Texas by myself with no family. I'm thinking about going to the movies. So I think Creed 2 comes out.
On Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think Creed 2 drops and that new movie Robin Hood. So I might treat myself to a steak in a movie.
I might break my my football fast and with the
Redskins. Who's playing?
The Redskins Cowboys play. Oh shit. I believe. Yeah. And with the Redskins losing today and the Cowboys winning, the Cowboys would have a chance to pull even with the Redskins if they beat them on Thanksgiving. So I might watch some football that day.
I mean, I've got all my family in town, so it's going to be a thing for me.
Yeah.
And y'all are invited if y'all want to come. But, yeah, I mean, Thanksgiving's always been about family for me. And it's not like we spend a lot of time apart anyways, but it's always been a time of remembrance and being thankful for the time that we have together, you know. It's
and I one of the best things about moving to Texas is I got away and my family's never going to hear this.
Mm-mm.
They not, y'all don't listen to my fucking podcast. You know, cause don't it, I ain't like, all right, Rich, does it piss you off when we do this podcast?
I have people still asking, you have a podcast?
Nah, but we do this podcast, and then and we've been, for the people who do listen, we've been like told like they like us to get back to the personal stuff, you know, so it can feel like they're actually having a conversation with us. But I get on this podcast and I tell all my business and everything that's going on with me. And then, you know, somebody who says they listen to the podcast or says they follow us, you know, you'll have a conversation and like, "Man, how you doing? What's going on?" You should know. You should know, bro. You should know. I talked about it last week. Remember the episode title, Nick?
Yeah, but to a certain extent, that's true. But also, there's probably stuff you leave out.
I leave nothing out, Tom. I put it all for the people. It's all for the people. I'm an open book. I'm not talking about this current situation. I'm not talking about that other than my roommate.
Mm.
But, nah. I never liked Thanksgiving. Never. I don't like turkey. I don't like stuffing. I don't even like none of the Thanksgiving foods.
What?
No, come on.
My wife has gotten into this habit now of she watches it's Thanksgiving Charlie Brown or whatever.
I'm not doing that.
Why did? How I is can't. That? How does anybody find that entertaining? Easy Tiger, are you a fan of Charlie Brown?
I used to like the Peanuts comic strips, but I don't think I ever enjoyed the show.
The show. I think I watched it because it was animation. Yeah. It was like it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think as a kid, you watch anything. I'm not
going to go out of my way to look at Charlie Brown.
But I think the only one I've seen is the Christmas special. Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. Yeah.
But you turn it on now, and it's like it's not remotely entertaining. Like it's horrible. It's dry and boring. My daughter loves it. My daughter so loves slow. It. Slow. And the went and all that. It's like, it's not funny at all. Like, there's no jokes to me. Like, it's just horrible. And Charlie Brown is like the most depressing. No wonder so many of our generation deal with like depression and anxiety. His nigga was going to a therapist at like 8 or whatever. Wasn't he paying like a quarter for the to tell the chick his problem? Like, we grew up.
Charlie Brown with some
depressing ass.
Depressing when you think of it. He really slow and just like.
He ain't had no friends. Really? Or he didn't feel like he had no friends. He thought nobody liked him. And still, we didn't commit suicide. I did. And I'm going to bring this up. And then we're going to stop the episode, which is probably really fucked up. But I saw another report this week of, I think, a fourth grader that committed suicide because she was being bullied.
Fourth grade.
Yeah. Hung herself. How do you even
contemplate?
That is my question. They don't, that is my question.
They don't build kids like they used to. You know what I mean? They're so... And I hate to say it. Parents are shielding their kids way too much.
But they're not shielding them from the right things. Because to Tom's point, in the fourth grade, I don't think I understood the concept of suicide. I didn't see suicide as an option. I got bullied and used to come home and cry about it all the time. But I never knew that I could just kill myself and it could be all. I wasn't aware of that as an option. So if you're shielding your children from stuff, shield them from the adult concept of suicide. That is not a concept a child should know about.
The overconsumption of media. Perfect example. What was the biggest show on Netflix last year, and now they just made a season 2?
13 Reasons Why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kids out here watching it. Step by step on how to commit suicide and tell everybody about it. Holla at me from the grave.
Like, yeah, we shielding our children from the wrong things. Like, that is a purely adult concept. A child should not be aware.
Yeah, I would get bullied and you go home and you figure out your master plan to get them back.
Like, I'm trying to think of how I would even know how to hang myself. Like, I don't think if in the fourth grade I would have had the wherewithal to...
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have...
been able to hang myself.
Yeah, that's tragic.
It's very tragic. So, I don't know, folks. Thanksgiving's coming. Embrace your family. Love them. Be with them. Shield your children. Hug them. Watch some football.
And if you find yourself alone on Thanksgiving with nothing to do, buy a t-shirt.
And we got 124 episodes for you. You can spend a whole day with us.
Damn, you really could.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. More than that.
Shit, 124
episodes. Why be alone? Have a conversation. With two of the nicest guys you ever meet. You know? Have a conversation about sticking money up your ass. Anyway.
Just don't do it yourself.
Brighten your day. Anyway, as usual, thank you for rocking with us. Another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. We got a lot of content coming. We're trying to get back on schedule and be able to, you know, get the content out to you a little bit quicker. But it is on the way. TV shows on a little bit of hiatus, but we are coming back. We have not abandoned the concept or the idea. Shout out to Pod Dealers Network and all of our fellow pod dealers. Support your local pod dealer. Shout out to Rena's Cakeys, TT Charities, CelebrityHairCorp.com. What was the other one, Rich? I don't remember.
Brain for
Don't Get Mad. We still love you. But as always, until we speak again, be safe and be the light.
Peace.
Peace.